He's kind of this dark, brooding main character. I feel like this is a theme for us. We just really want these dark, brooding main dudes.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
It's our favorite flavor of man.
Welcome to Red Wine Reads, a community of book lovers talking about our favorite and not so favorite books while pouring a glass or two of wine. I'm your host, Jenna Miller, and with me today is our resident romance expert, Sierra Marshall. Now, before we start, I should warn you that we do spoil the endings of the books we review, so if you don't like that, then please go finish the book and come back to this episode. My goal is to have you read these books with us so you can participate in the conversation. At the beginning of each month, I outline the books we will be reviewing, so whether you want to read one, none, or all of them, the choice is up to you. These reviews are not backed by any science or experience, just purely two opinionated amateur readers. You may hate the books we love or love the books we hate. Everyone has different tastes, but we hope this podcast is fun to listen to, no matter how you like your books. So, without further ado, let's pull some corks and get reading. This week, we read A Certain Appeal by Vanessa King. Well, welcome, Sarah, to another episode of Red Wine Reads. So, let's kind of just jump right in. This week, we read A Certain Appeal by Vanessa King. This was a fun read. I don't read a lot of romances, so it's fun to read a romance every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun. So we'll just kind of jump right into a little bit about the author. Vanessa King, she's kind of a character. Everything I found about her, she's quite the woman. She was a former burlesque dancer, which makes sense for the book that we read. Makes sense. She says she still has the glitter heels to prove it. And she is now a...
I love it.
Yeah, and she's now a current CrossFitter living in Colorado with her husband and kid. And she also said her, like, really old cat. So that was... her bio is just so funny. Like, you should just go read it. It's just very... funny. Just a little bit about the book. It was published in 2021. It has 3.7 stars out of 5 on Goodreads, so pretty high. People like this book, and this is actually the debut novel for King. So this is her first book. She seems like a good hang. So I would kind of want to meet her in person.
Yeah. I've also I looked at her picture. I think she has she has a cool haircut, and then I was like, oh, she seems like a, I mean, just with correlation with what she has written, I'm like, yeah, she seems like a really nice, interesting person.
Yeah, no, she definitely does. So let's kind of get into some of the main characters of this book. It has quite the set list, let's say, of characters. You have Elizabeth Bennett, who also goes by Liz, who also goes by Bennett, who also goes by Kitten Caboodle, who also goes by Kitten. She's our main character. The story is told through her eyes. She is kind of a past interior designer, decorator, and she is now a current office assistant at this startup. Think of it kind of like WeWork, but maybe a little bit more stable. And as I'm watching the We Crash series on Apple TV. So, and she's also a burlesque kitten, which is one of the people in burlesque that goes up after the woman has done her little dance performance. She goes up and picks up all the clothing and then brings it back to them. You have Will Darcy. He is the love interest of Bennett. He's kind of this dark, brooding main character. I feel like this is a theme for us. We just really want these dark, brooding main dudes.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
It's our favorite flavor of man.
Yeah. He's our dark, tall, and handsome, dark, tall, and fuckable main character.
Yeah, I loved that.
Oh, me too. And he's just this successful businessman living in New York. I kind of compared him to maybe Mr. Gray of 50 Shades of Gray. Kind of similar vibes, just a little less dark. And then we have Jane, who is Bennett's roommate. He is in love with another main character, Charles, and he's one of the burlesque performers, is a very, very good singer. And then we have Charles, who is kind of the man with the money. He's kind of the other half of Darcy, the very cheerful and much more of a bright personality than Darcy. And he is in love with Jane. And then that kind of leads us into our next character, Angela, who is the, she's the manager of the club, I think?
Owner. Well, yes. Yes, the manager. She's not, she doesn't own the actual club, but I think she owns, like, the name, if that makes sense. So she rents the space, as most people do a lot of times. They lease the space, and she owns the name of the club, I'm guessing.
Yes, that's the vibe I got as well. And then there's a bunch of side characters as well, but we don't, we'll probably touch on them as we kind of go through the plot and kind of what happens in this book.
And if you haven't caught on, these names are also the same names as that of our Jane Austen novel, Pride and Prejudice, which this is a, like, modern retelling.
Really? I didn't catch on at all.
If you can't tell. No. No. If you don't know, now you know.
Especially when she says Mr. Darcy, and you're like...
Right.
Oh, really?
Wait. Darcy? Who? That sounds familiar.
Oh, my goodness. I know exactly how this is going to end.
For our audience, if you didn't know, now you know.
Now you know. So, honestly, we don't even need to do a plot line. Just read Pride and Prejudice, and then there you go.
Oh, you guys got it.
It just takes place in a burlesque club, so there you go. I'll try to keep the summary short and sweet. As we know, I am terrible at summaries, so let's just give it a go. We open with Bennett. She's working at Meriton, which is a burlesque club in New York, kind of in the Wall Street area. And you have Ming Dynasty. Dynasty. Love it.
Yeah, I love that.
She's glorious. So she is one of the performers, honestly, one of my favorite characters in this book.
Yeah, very funny.
You have Jane, who's our singer, also Bennett's roommate. Bennett, who is the kitten who runs and grabs all the clothing. And then you have Gin and Tonic, who are the aerialists, the aerial performers. Then you have Angela, the owner slash manager. And you have Michael, who is the bartender, who kind of like makes appearances here and there throughout the book. So Bennett kind of spots Darcy in the corner. She's like, who is that really handsome man? So she does her thing, goes up there, puts on her little show, selling these like playing cards with nude pictures of all the performers, or Scandi pictures of all the performers. She sells nipple tassels, and then she kind of makes her impression, but then she overhears Darcy say, wow, she was tolerable. And so she was like, ouch, that hurts. That same night, Jane sings the song. You feel this tension between Darcy and Bennett. You're like, ooh, something's going to happen. And then, you know, Bennett goes home alone. She's like, whatever, this guy's, you know, whatever. Jane ends up coming out of his room with Charles. And so she's like, oh, okay, you go. And then those two end up having a relationship, which is adorable. Later on in the book, Darcy wants to try to break up Charles and Jane because he realizes that Jane may have just been using Charles to get this deal for Angela, which initially that may have been the cause, but Jane and Charles slept over together.
Before he knew.
Exactly, before he even knew anything. And so that was kind of the case that Bennett was trying to make with Darcy about that. And then kind of while this whole thing's going down, we follow Elizabeth through her work life at WorkIt, which again is kind of like a WeWork, so workspaces, communal workspaces, and ends up meeting this guy. So we meet Wickham, who's kind of this goofy kind of businessman, and he ends up getting pretty close with Bennett. She goes on out for a few drinks with him. She shares a lot about her history of being in LA and how she was at this design firm And her boss stole her idea and then accused her of kind of sleeping with him to get the job. As the story goes on, we kind of like get weird feelings about Wickham. He kind of is acting strange. Wickham's up to something, but I don't really know what he's up to. While he's kind of scheming in the background, Bennett's kind of trying to design a new space for Meriton.
Meriton.
Because once the, Charles buys the new space, they can do a whole new renovation. And so she's like sketched all these beautiful designs for what the inside's going to look like. And we find out later that Wickham steals those designs in order to present his case to buy the Meriton. And so this whole deal between Charles and Angela and to buy the Meriton, to buy the space in order for Meriton to continue, falls through. They find out that this happens after a very hot and steamy night between Bennett and Darcy in a hotel room. She ends up leaving a sex print on the window, I think is what they said. Bennett gets super pissed and she's like, this isn't going to happen. So she gathers everyone up in this hotel conference room and was like, this is what we're going to do. They come up with a whole plan. And this whole time you're like, well, they need a space. And we all know that real estate in New York is hard to come by. We find out that Darcy, Mr. Darcy, is very wealthy and has a space called the Pemberley, which they've been trying to figure out how to turn into a functional space once again. And I don't know if it was just me, but I was like, for the love of God, just use the Pemberley.
Right.
And that's what they end up doing. How is that? Was that relatively easy to follow?
Great.
Very skimmed off the top. But if you read it, which is our goal for all of our listeners, if you read it, you know what I'm talking about. Let's start with things we liked. What were some of the things you liked?
Yeah, I, of course, love the whole idea of turning Pride and Prejudice into a burlesque club. Like the whole premise of like bringing that to this location. Burlesque is one of those things that I think people, it's like, it's to me, it's like less risque than maybe like a strip club or something like that. But I definitely feel in both professions, you feel a sense of like power in your femininity. And I think that is one thing that this author and that was kind of talked about in this book, of it not being necessarily for other people, but being for yourself and feeling sexy and confident and it not mattering what your body size is and really just being able to fully like be yourself and be this big personality. And I really like that idea. I really liked the play on, because I was like a design-based like major in college. I really love like design aspects being brought in, and I liked her story of her being a designer and bringing that in as well. And you know, when the parts did get steamy, I loved those.
Yes.
Wasn't too much. I mean, it was very like subtle throughout, but
yes.
I liked the slow burn.
I agree with a lot of what you said. I also really liked the Pride and Prejudice parallel lines, kind of that story being put into a burlesque club in present day. I thought that was very creative. I thought that the romance side of this romance novel was honestly really good. Like, I did love, of course you wish there were more, but I feel like she did a good job of, right, like creating that really, really strong tension between the two of them, like right off the bat. And so you were in, which I get with like Pride and Prejudice as well, where it's a very slow burn and you're like waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then kind of the payoff is like, oh, thank goodness.
Right. Well, and that's what you expect, I think, from Pride and Prejudice. And if you're going to do Pride and Prejudice, you need to have that angry tension that just keeps building till they just have to admit their feelings for one another.
Yes. And like, she created a lot of obstacles in their way that they had to overcome. And so you're kind of just rooting for them, but you're also like, oh my gosh, like, how would they get through that? Oh my gosh, like, does he like her? Does she like him? Like, is this going to actually work out? And so I think that slow build was very, very good. And I think she, since she was in the burlesque, since Vanessa King herself was in the burlesque scene, I think the actual description of burlesque and like the performances and kind of being in that space, I thought that description was really, really good in kind of setting the scene in those clubs. Yeah. And I agree. I think that like that scene of Bennett on the stage as Kitten and doing the peel, you know, taking off the glove.
Yes.
I just thought, this is brilliant. Like, first of all, I didn't know what it was, so that was like kind of fun to learn something new. But it was also such a insight as to why this woman does what she does. And like what it feels like to be up on that stage. And you can really only get that from someone who's been in the space. And so I thought that scene, it's like, especially was like one of my favorite scenes in the entire book. Like, it was so good. And it's just this like sexual tension, but like all eyes are on me. I'm the owner of this feeling in this room. Like, I direct where these people are looking, how they're feeling, what they get to see and what they don't get to see. I just thought that was like brilliant.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of that is like, that power, it doesn't just come from everyone's eyes are on you, but like the way you just, like you said, you are directing, like, where do you want people's eyes to go? And it's not just about like men looking at you. It's about you looking at you and you saying like, here I am, I'm sexy. Like, and like just the confidence, I think that something like this could give someone. And doing it for not necessarily for other people to look at, but doing it 100% for yourself. Because I think a lot of times people in situations like this doing burlesque or something like that, it has less to do about the audience. Now, that definitely helps when you have people cheering you on. But I think it has to do with like, I'm doing this sexy thing. Like, for me, it's bringing me joy and confidence. And I love that.
And I think, sorry, I think that when you're a woman and you put on, you know, whether it's like a really tight dress or whether it's like a pair of like really sexy heels, or even if you're like, I'm putting on this lingerie, and like that feeling, I think she captures like so well, where it's like, I'm doing this for me. This makes me feel good. Like, this gives me a pep in my step. Like, I feel invincible right now. Like, I know people are watching me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And it's like that feeling, yep, like that you can't, I think she just captured that in that scene. And like only someone in like everyone who's put on an outfit and felt that way, like, you understand it.
Yeah. And that can be anything. I mean, and I love that kind of touches on that too, because I think there are so many different characters that are in this burlesque show. Like, while for some it may be like sexy lingerie, other it may be like a pair of combat boots, or, you know, like, I just love that this kind of confidence, it can transcend fashion or style, or even in this case, like being burlesque. I think that is something that a lot of feminine people will, mm-hmm, feel in their lifetime. And I think it's really awesome to see that put onto paper and really described. So I think that's something that all people of all different genders will like appreciate, if you have felt that feeling, mm-hmm, before. And it's kind of like a high. It's great.
Yeah. And I think also to touch on that, like, she does a good job of it being very inclusive of like her characters and who she like was very mindful of who she puts in this book. Because you kind of have Bennett, who is the stereotypical woman who's probably like ideal figure, you know, big boobs, nice booty, like probably just like looks great when she's in just lingerie. And then you have kind of Ming, who has a little bit more curves, has a little bit more weight to her, but like everyone loves her and she puts on a show and like she knows how to work it. And she was the reason that, you know, Bennett got into burlesque, and she was like, this is like stunning. And then you have the aerialists, who are maybe more of an athletic build, who, you know, are spinning through the air and able to like carry their whole body weight in just like these little, you know, I've tried aerial classes before. It's freaking hard.
Soaks. Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing like yoga right now, and like, that's difficult. I can't imagine hanging my body from a pair of silks.
And to look sexy while doing it. I just...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have, like, Jane, who is a male in this, like, very female-dominated world, but, like, is absolutely rocking it and can kind of just, like, you know, pick who he wants to be and pick who he wants and how he wants to feel. And it's just, like, I don't know. I think she did a great job at that, where each character you came in contact with was very different and all feeling sexy in their own right, in their own way. And that was kind of a cool underlying message that I don't think you get from Pride and Prejudice.
Right, yeah. Definitely not.
No. Okay. We're loving on this book, but what are some things that we did not enjoy, if any? Okay, I'll start.
Maybe I can play off what you say.
I had a few issues, and most of it kind of revolves around the plot, the setting, the scene, and kind of I got very lost a lot of this book from like very kind of jerky transitions from different place settings. For example, I got a little confused with the whole scene of, you know, Jane getting knocked in the head by like a falling beam of some sort. It was just kind of like at one point he's just like looking in this mirror and then all of a sudden he's like on the ground with like a gaping gash in his head, and then like somehow like Charles is there and then Darcy's there and then it's like okay, and then Darcy like literally runs off and you're like wait what. And so like there were parts like that where it felt very chaotic and kind of like characters were getting lost in the setting and in the storyline. And I feel like there were a lot of like references to different, you know, places in LA, different places in New York, who as a non-native LA person or not a native New York person either, who even like living in New York for a couple of months, I still was like kind of lost at what it was supposed to look like and like what these references were referencing. And so then like, I'm like, wait, but like, what does that actually look like? So then I had to like go Google it. And then I was like, oh, that makes sense, which is fine. I struggled to like kind of get put into the story. Like I think the characters were really good and like you could, like that was enough to kind of keep me engaged. But like the actual like setting was a little bit of a struggle for me, and how much time was passing between different interactions. Like I got a little kind of lost in that sense. Those were a few. And then one thing, this kind of goes back to the whole experience with Jane getting his head bashed by a falling thing. But I feel like the conflicts in this book were like a little forced. They felt like they kind of came out of nowhere and also were just kind of placed there because, you know, maybe her editor was like, we need more conflict. We need more tension here. When I think she could have played more upon the conflict between actual like Darcy and Bennett. But, you know, the separation of Charles and Jane felt like, I think we could have done a lot more with it, like a lot more build up into like them separating, a lot more what was that conversation like between Charles and Darcy. I feel like that was kind of a missed opportunity to kind of build more of that tension between Darcy and Bennett after that whole situation happens. Like what does that feel like? And then I was kind of confused on why the buy fell through. Angela was like, I got swindled, but then it was kind of like, but how? Like why? What was happening in that room? So I just feel like some of these conflicts, like the baseline, I'm like, I get it. And that like drove the story and I totally get that. But like, I wanted a little bit more from each of those.
Mm-hmm. I think perhaps in the way, like you're saying the same thing, there were too many parallels because all of these things that you're bringing up, like Jane getting hit in the head, that's very much parallels when Jane gets sick, the whole Wickham thing. Wickham winning, that's a parallel to Wickham being able to, I think he marries Kitty and Darcy has to pay him off essentially. And I do agree, I think maybe there were too many parallels when you could have had some more internal conflict with Bennett and Darcy rather than having that external conflict. And I would have loved to see myself more of that, like, internal conflict, more conflict between just Darcy and Bennett and how their relationship works. I'd love to see a little bit more of that. I think we got a good amount of that, but It almost felt too easy,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I think in the whole grand story of a Pride and Prejudice retelling or, you know, anything else, that there is that constant, like, push and pull, and just they are constantly, like, magnetized to each other while equally, like, having these feelings of, like, hatred and disdain, but not hatred and disdain. It's actually love and, like, passion. And I did miss a little bit of that, which I have gotten from other, like, Pride and Prejudice retellings. Or even other, like, Pride and Prejudice, like, the 2005 movie.
Yes, with Keira Knightley.
Yes. Love that one.
Yeah, she says she's going to do, Vanessa King said in an interview that she wants to do another book kind of in the same universe as this, but maybe not all the same characters, but that follows the Sense and Sensibility story. So I'm interested to see how she's able to do that. Let's get into our final ratings. I'll start. So for me, I think I'll give it 3 stars. That was my gut reaction after I finished it. Because like I said before, I love the burlesque scene. It's super different. And I love the detailing that she has for that world. But then just a lot was missing for me. It was a really big page turner for me, like all the way up until about when Charles and Jane split. And then it kind of lost me. And then I kind of got back on board with the whole hotel scene. And then I was like kind of out of it again. And then it kind of lost me at more points than I wished. And I just felt, I wrote here that, you know, while the romance was like good, it was kind of spicy, well-timed, kind of well built up. I do think like it was just, the plot was very discombobulated. The relationships were not very well defined, and the setting was just like a little murky for me. So I think because of that is why I give it 3 stars. It's a fine read, just not my favorite.
Right. I would say 3.5 stars for me as well. It feels more like a beach read. You know, this is the book you bring, you're going on vacation. It has the feeling of just if you want to kind of like take a break, you know?
Yes.
It's not necessarily intellectually stimulating, which some people crave. And so I would say I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. It was a good one to read. It was fun. It was creative. And I liked most everything about it. It just is not, like, when I rate books, it is, like, an overall, like, feeling, like, how does it really, does it make me feel a lot, and is it intellectually stimulating for me, and a lot of other things, like, go into it. Is there a lot to analyze in this, and I also really like that. And this one, less, I mean, there were definitely parallels which you could analyze, but wasn't something that was too terribly hard to understand or to grasp. And I think that there's something really beautiful about that too. It makes it very, very much like everyone can read it kind of thing. Very accessible. So in that way, I really enjoyed that. I would say if you're going on vacation, hey, bring this along with you. It's super fun. So yeah, I would give it a 3.5 to 3.5 stars.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's get into our pairings. So as a reminder, we like to pick TV shows, books, other books, movies that remind us of this book so that you can kind of continue this feeling by indulging in other media. And so for me, I think I had a really hard time picking another book because as you well know, I'm very new to the romance genre. And so I don't have any other books for this, but I do have for my movie, so I picked Burlesque, Given.
Yeah.
With Cher and Christina Aguilera.
It very much gave a very similar vibe to that, too.
Yes, very similar vibe. And a very similar like kind of storyline of like the club might, you know, they might be losing the club. How do you get new talent? Yeah. And then I guess my TV show would be Glow, the TV show with
I love that TV show.
Yeah, with like these women getting into wrestling. It's so good.
Mine would be Unequal Affections. It is actually a Pride and Prejudice retelling, and it is not in the same way that this is kind of a Pride and Prejudice retelling. In this book, it kind of takes what would happen if Elizabeth said yes to Darcy's first proposal in Pride and Prejudice, and then it kind of goes on from that. I heard it through TikTok, and it immediately piqued my interest, and I was like, I have to read it. So I did. That one is definitely going to be your more intellectual read. It is amazing. There is that tension that you're looking for. So I would definitely say that. And of course, if you haven't already, 2005's Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley. And then also, if you want to like kind of compare that, there is also, I believe it's a, I'm not sure it's BBC, but it might be BBC. There is a 1995 with Colin Firth, I believe. I'm looking it up as we go.
1995, Colin Firth.
And it is BBC. So there you go.
It is BBC. Wow. Killed it.
Me and my family, we're very big Pride and Prejudice people. We really are. My mom and I will probably watch Pride and Prejudice 2005's version like at least 2 to 3 times a year.
Love that.
So I know the story well.
Yeah, see, my family chooses to watch Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell at least 2 to 3 times a year. So.
That's so funny.
Oh, well, this was fun. Thank you, Sierra, as always. This is always a pleasure. Yeah, I feel like absolutely. We're just going to keep bringing up Pride and Prejudice as one of our pairings with every book that we read. So
why not?
I'll just be on the lookout next time.
Hey, we'll see.
Well, that's the show. Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, then please go give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. If you want more book-related content, you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at RW Reads Podcast. Again, that's at RWReadsPodcast. Last time, that's at RW Reads Podcast on TikTok and Instagram. Stay tuned for our Small Sips episode where I will do a 10-minute deep dive on any book-related topic. This week, I am exploring why tall, dark, and handsome men are just universally attractive. And next Monday, Ella and I will be discussing LA Woman, so you really don't want to miss it. We're going to be talking all things Eve Babbitts, and it's a really great conversation. So until next week, keep your books open and your drink glasses full. Thanks all.